Historically, Lent has been a season of repentance, yes. But it has also been a time for catechesis for the church and an opportunity for God's people to meditate more deeply on Christ's work. This year's Lententide, we are going to carry on that ancient tradition by meditating on Jesus' saving work as it relates to his three offices of prophet, priest, and king. When God called Israel to be his holy people, his holy nation, he established Israel to be a nation with a special relationship to himself. He set them apart to be a people for himself. And so it is that God established three offices so that his people could know his word, receive the forgiveness of sins, and live according to his law. The offices are that of prophet, priest, and king. God spoke to his people through the prophets. He reconciled them to himself, forgiving their sins through the mediation of the priests, and he ruled over them by establishing kings. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that Israel's identity, that God's people's identity, is established, constituted, and maintained by these three offices. The church has long recognized that in the coming of Christ, these three offices have not been abolished, but they instead have been brought to fulfillment in Jesus. God's redeeming relationship with his people, the church, is established, constituted, and maintained by Christ's work as prophet, priest, and king. The 4th century bishop Eusebius speaks of Christ in this way. He says, "The true Christ is the divine and heavenly Logos, is alone the high priest of the whole world, is alone the king of the whole creation, is alone the supreme prophet of his Father among all prophets." By the end of this Lententide, it is my hope that you may confess with Eusebius the same boldness and confidence that Christ is prophet, that he is priest, and that he is the king. Now, as you probably heard from the readings, if you were listening despite it being late at night, we will be meditating on Christ's prophetic office this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, the true prophet. "In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets," says the preacher to the Hebrews. This is the defining feature of the prophetic office, to speak God's word. A prophet is not a prophet because he is particularly great, or particularly wise, or even particularly pious in and of himself. The prophets of old were holy men, of course, meaning that they were set aside by God for a holy purpose, but they, like all sinners, struggled with the same human foibles that we do. Sometimes they were overcome by anger, fear, or despondency, and sometimes they even doubted the grace of God. But the prophet's authority, luckily, does not come from the prophet himself. Because the prophet does not speak his own word or speak his own mind, but he speaks not from his own authority, but the authority of God. He speaks the word that God has given to him. The key phrase in the prophetic call is, "The word of the Lord came to me." A prophet does not speak his own word to the people, but only the word which he has first received. The prophet preaches the revealed word to convict the people of their sins, to call them to repentance, and to reveal God's redeeming work. Because God has established the office of prophet in order to deliver his life-giving word, the key question for God's people, meaning the key question for you, is how do I know whether a prophet is a true prophet or not? The Old Testament gives us a couple answers to this question. The first comes from our Old Testament reading. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. If a prophecy does not come true, then the prophet has uttered a false prophecy and is assuredly a false prophet. For the word of God is always true. The word he spoke was not the word of God, but his own word. The false prophet uses the name of the Lord to lie and to deceive. The simple litmus test reveals many false prophets. William Miller, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventists, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormons, Charles Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witness, Hal Lindsey, Pat Robertson, and Benny Hinn, and many others have all prophesied, yet their prophecies did not come true. They have proven themselves to be false teachers. Unlike these modern charlatans, the prophets of old prophesied, and what they spoke came to pass. Israel was indeed exiled and restored according to the word they spoke. The Lord bestowed upon them his word, and it came true. And he added another stamp of authority to the words which they spoke. He added signs and wonders. He gave them his Holy Spirit to perform these signs and wonders. The miracles were not performed by the prophets, but by God, in order to testify that the word the prophet spoke was true. For it was not the prophet's word, but God's word. Because of the miracles performed through the prophets, the faithful could confess with the woman whose son was raised from the dead by Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." As we heard last week, of all the Old Testament prophets, none was greater than Moses. None performed greater miracles than the plagues in Egypt, the manna in the wilderness, or the crossing of the Red Sea. God chose Moses to be the mediator of his covenant with his people. It was through Moses that God gave his people his holy law and established Israel to be his holy nation. And while the word of the Lord came to all the prophets, Exodus recounts that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses prophesied to the people that they would be unfaithful to the covenant, that they would reject God and not follow his law, but do what was right in their own eyes. Yet Moses also prophesied that the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. This new prophet will be one of the sons of Israel. He will speak with God face to face, and he will be far greater than Moses. He will inaugurate a new covenant greater than the covenant of Sinai. Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is the prophet prophesied who is like Moses, who speaks to God face to face, yet he is a prophet far greater than Moses. He surpasses Moses in every way. The preacher to the Hebrews says Moses was faithful in God's house, but Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Jesus is greater than Moses because Moses spoke to God on Sinai and in the tabernacle. But Jesus is the eternal Son who speaks to the Father in the eternal council of the Trinity. He is co-equal with the Father. Moses was a servant of God, but Christ is the only begotten Son of God. After Moses spoke to God, his face shone with the reflected glory of God, but Christ's face shone with his own uncreated light. Jesus is greater than all the prophets because they spoke the word of God, but Jesus is the word, the eternal Logos made flesh. When Moses and the rest of the prophets spoke, they testified to Christ. But when Christ spoke, he spoke on his own authority and testified to himself. Jesus speaks on his own authority, and he performs miracles and signs, and by his own power, because the Holy Spirit is his Holy Spirit. Jesus is greater to Moses with respect to the wonders that he performs as well. Moses defeated Pharaoh and Egypt, but Christ defeats the devil and the world. Moses brought the people out of Israel through the Red Sea, but Jesus brings all nations to salvation through the waters of holy baptism. Moses fed the people manna in the desert, and they all died. But Jesus feeds the church his body and blood so that they may live with him forever in paradise. Jesus is as much greater than Moses as the new covenant is to the old. The old covenant was temporary and only pointed forward to the new eternal covenant mediated by Jesus. Moses came as a preacher of the law. Do this and you shall live. But Jesus comes to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He comes as a preacher of the gospel. Jesus proclaims the message, "This I have done, and you shall live." The old covenant was sealed by the blood of animals, but the new is sealed by Christ's own blood. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. All the prophets testified to Christ. And he is the final and complete revelation of God. And this is his revelation to you, that God chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In the name of Jesus, the true prophet. Amen.